Okay, Rabbi, so we keep on continue Daf Yomi here from Beijing, China. We're on Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis. Today's Daf is Daf Chof Beis, but we left off at Abba Umna. Abba Umna is 2, 4, 6, 8, about 12 lines from the bottom of Chof Aleph Amud Beis. There is no direct connection between the story of Abba Umna to the previous Gemara, other than on the Amud Aleph we spoke about other great tzaddikim such as Nochum Ish Gamzu. The Gemara is going to tell us now that Abba Umna, Abaye, and Rava were all great tzaddikim, zoiche to greetings from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam or from upstairs in Shemayim on a regular, ongoing basis. So first we'll talk about Abba Umna. Abba Umna means his name was Abba, just like today you have people by the name of Abba. Umna means that he was a bloodletter. Nowadays, it's a little strange to us, we don't understand what does that mean to let blood, but that's because bloodletting was to relieve blood pressure. Today we have blood pressure pills, and so therefore we don't do so much letting of blood. But in good old days, when a person had high blood pressure, they would let out some of the blood. So Abba, who was an Uman, who was a person who let out blood, this was part of the medical profession, he would go and receive greetings from the Mesifta Rekia from upstairs in Shemayim on a daily basis, every day. He came to the Dav, they said, Ab Umna, Agit Morgen, from Mesifta Rekia. Well, Abaye, Kol Mali Yom de Shabbat. Abaye only got such greetings every Erev Shabbos. Presumably, said to him, no, so to my getting Shabbos. Well, Rava Kol Mali Yom de Kippuri. Rava only was Zoicha once a year on Erev Yom Kippur. Oh, Och Gamskiet, on Erev Yom Kippur once a year. So, tell the Gemara. Have a Kachol Shadait the Abaye Mishem de Abba Umna. Abaye felt bad. Abba Umna obviously was not a Tanu on a Moira. He was a bloodletter. And he was Zoicha to a daily greeting, and Abaye only to a weekly greeting. They told him in Hashemayim, there's no way that you can go and do like the beautiful ma'asim of Abba Umna. When he would go and let out blood, first thing was he was very makbid on tznius, because after all, to let out blood, you have to make an incision somewhere in a person's arteries or veins, and so therefore you're going to have to open up the sleeve, the shirt, whatever, so that there should be perfect tznius. He had men on one side of the curtain, women on the other, or in different rooms. The Islay Levusha, the Isbe Kaina. And he prearranged that the hospital gown, or the clothing that was used for purposes of the bloodletting, already had a horn attached to it. The horn means that instrument that they used to suck out the blood. Today we would be talking about such a suction device. So the Kaina was something like that, that they would suck out, draw out the blood from the arteries or veins. That was Bezia Be Kusilta, or Ki Kusilta. Bezia means that it was cut through, Ki Kusilta, close to that area where you would make the incision in the person's body. In other words, assuming that you would take it from an artery, the marshal Echbais, in the shoulder. So therefore, the Karna, this bloodletting device, this apparatus, was situated right next to where there would be a hole in the gown, which would lead to a hole, the incision that would be made in the person's body to be able to draw out the blood. Kavas Asya lay itza, when a woman would come, have a malbish law, he would go and have her put on such a garment. In other words, that apparently this is really women's garments, not so much for the men. The men is not a problem, man and a man, but for the women they would don't wear that garment. So therefore he would never have to go and look at any part of her body because everything was covered, and that place where he had to make the incision to draw out the blood, it was already prearranged, already pre-cut in the malbish, so it was minimal histakos, if at all. Okay, so this was in terms of the Indian of tznius. But more than that, the isle duchta the tznius, the shodi bei pshiti, the shokel. Isle shodi bei, the last bei loy mechsef, which means, although he had a standard charge, $10 a visit, $5 a visit, whatever it was, he didn't have a cashier, he didn't have a lady that did the credit card, rather there was a mokum de tznia, a place which was hidden, the shodi bei pshiti de shokel, that people would go and throw in their money that he would take for his services. The isle, if you had money, shodi bei, so you threw the money in, you put it into the pushka, so to speak. The lastly, what happens if unfortunately you had no money, le mechsef, so then you didn't put any money in. But since it was a mokum tznia, nobody saw what you put in, you didn't put in, and so therefore nobody was embarrassed. Gabbis Ramili Tumer Rabbanon. When a Talmud Chacham would come as a patient to let out blood, he wouldn't take any wages from him at all. He didn't charge him at all. But Faket, when he would get up after letting out the blood, he would go and give him some money. As you know, even today, if you've ever given blood, after that they have you sit down and they have you drink some juice after that. They don't let you run around immediately because they don't want you, chas v'shalom, to get dizzy or to fall or whatever. So here too, after the person got up, he said, here, take another bissel gout, take some money and go with this, buy a drink and be able to replenish and get back your health. Okay, so we see Abd Umna was very choshev. He was makbid on sneers. He was makbid on not charging. He was makbid on giving money to Talmid Chachamim to go and support them. Says Yimora, Yoim Echad, one day Shoder Abaye Zug Rabban Lemivzike. Abaye really wanted to go and send spies to see, let's see how Erlich and how great this Abba Umna is. So he sent a Zug Rabban, a peer of Rabban Lemivzike, to inspect. So when they came in, Oizvinu, Abba Umna had them sit down. Bochlinu, and he gave them to eat. Bashkinu, he gave them to drink. And then he said, it's getting late, you can stay overnight. Umokluhu Bistarki, Belaidah. Bistarki explains Rashi is, if you look at the last Rashi in the last line, Umachluhu Bistarki, Kipel Tachtein Tachshite Tzemer, Tapido Balaz, Lishan Bem. In other words, he took, similar to some sort of blanket of some sort, he took Tachshite Tzemer woolen garments, woolen blankets, he folded them up underneath them to be able to go and sleep on them. In other words, he made a makeshift bed, a makeshift pillow for them, for these Turba Mirabot. Okay, so far very nice. Beautiful achnas is orchid. The tzafra, the next morning, karchinu, these rabbanon took the blankets that had been folded up, they rolled it up, the shaklinu, and they took it. In other words, they stole it. The kamu v'nafgalu hushuka, and they went out to the marketplace to go and sell them. The ashkachinu, and guess who they met? They met Abba Umna. Presumably the reason why they met Abba Umna is because he realized he didn't have those blankets any longer, and he's going to need them for future hachnasas archim. So they went out to sell it. He went to buy new ones. Amrulay. So then, when they saw that he is in the market to go and buy blankets, they said to him, "L'shaimimar, hey chishavu, why don't you go and appraise how much it's worth?" In other words, similar to what we're doing here in the shuk, let's try to do a negotiation, a handle. How much do you think they are worth? Says Rashi, the reason why they asked him that he should be shum is because they wanted to see, number one, is he going to be chosh them that they're gadlanim? And he's going to go and say, I should go and appraise, these are my goods, what he is, he's selling to me back my blankets. That was number one. Or number two, even if he's not going to charge them with anything, but perhaps he's going to want to get it back cheap. So even though they're worth $100, he might go and say, it's only worth $25. See, look at the Rashi, the top line, middle of the line. Amrulei li Abba Umna, li shaminu mar, v'havlon demayu. Why don't you appraise it and give us the value? For Yiboit Kenoi said they wanted to check him. Im yachshadem ki gazlanim, if he'd be choshed to say like a gazlanim, or im hei sham oisam, or if he'll be sham, if he'll do a shuma, if he'll do an appraisal, pochaz mechdei demayim, less than they're really worth. Anyway, Amrulei hachi vachi, he said, this is the value, $50, $100.
We're not finished.
He is 2 steps ahead of us. Amrulei, the Dilma Shavutve, and they asked him, maybe it's worth more than 50, maybe it's worth 100. Amar Lehem, Bahakshaklinum. That's how much you paid for it. I still have the bill from last year, that's how much you paid for it. Amrulei, Didachniu. The truth of the matter is, it's really yours, Vishaklinum Inach, and we stole it from you here, Nada, take it back. Amrulei, so now they said to him further, the Matusa Minach. Matusa Minach means Zat Moichu. Explain to us, how you choshed us? I mean, after all, you knew that this is your goods. What were you choshed us? Amar Lahusi said to them, I'm in a pinyon shvuyim iklu l'rabanan. I was sure that you had a case of pinyon shvuyim chas v'shalom to go and redeem someone from captivity. V'chsifu l'maymali, and you were embarrassed to ask me for money. After all, nobody wants to be a schnorrer, so you were embarrassed, and that's why you took the blanket. Amrulei, so they said to him, Hashta nishkalinumat. You know what? Now that it's yours, take it back and finish. Kendik. Amrulehu, I'm sorry, mehu shata. From the moment that I realized that these had been taken, and I thought they were for pinyan shvuim, aschasinu midatoy litztaka. I went and they decided, no matter what happened with these blankets, I give them to tzedakah, I'm not going to take it back, therefore it's all yours, I'm not taking it. That's the end of the story. So we see from this the grace of godless of Abba Umna, not only in his profession, but also on a day-to-day basis. He wasn't choshed the Rabban Chas Shalom al Kazlonim. He assumed that they were coming for Dvar Mitzvah. He was mafkarit for Tzedakah, etc. That's why he got these types of greetings every day in Merikia. And that's the end of that story. But now the Gemara continues in Habakkuk, Cholcha Daita Derava Mishnah Dabai. Just like Abai was upset about Abba Umna, Rav is upset, how come I only get greetings once a year, and Abai gets every week? Amrulei, so they told him in a Shemai, Mistayach, be happy, to Kameganis Akula Krocha, that in your schus, the entire city of Mechoyza, as you know, Rav was the Rav of Mechoyza, the entire city of Mechoyza has the schus of living and standing and existing in your schus. In other words, that's why it doesn't burn down, that's why there's no collapse, no tsunamis, no earthquakes, all in your schus, Rava, so be happy with that. But the Gemara doesn't tell us why Taka Abaye was Zeicha every single week and why Rava once a year. If you remember back in the Masechtas Rosh Hashanah, which we learned not long ago, the Gemara told us about the Bnei Eli, that unfortunately because Chofni Upinchas were Chote in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu made a Shavua that all of the family of Beis Eli, all generations, will all die young men. And in fact, the Gemara says they typically passed away at the age of 18 or 20. Says the Gemara, Tshuva won't help, but Torah and Ma'aseh Tovim will help. The Gemara says over there, either Rabba or Rava, it's a Machloikas Girsois, that Rabba or Rava was Tak Oisik B'Torah, instead of living to the age of 18, living until the age of 40. Abaye, who was Oisik B'Torah and Gimilas Chesed, he lived until the age of 60. So assuming that Gemara is talking about Rava, therefore we have that Rava Tak was a great event Torah. You see Rava throughout Shas, and Machloikas Abaye of Rava always passing like Rava, except the Al-Kigam. So Rava was greater in Torah than Abaye, apparently. However, in Chesed, Abaye was greater because he lived at the age of 60, while Rava or Rabba only lived to the age of 40. So it's confined because of that, Abaye was Zoycha, that he got the greetings once a week, and Rava only got the greetings once a year.
They're both from Beis Eli?
So Abaye is for sure from Beis Eli. The Shalu, whether it's Rava or Rabba, is a Machloikas Kasibitin. Rashi, Toysis, other Mepharshim, whether Rava was from Beis Eli, or Rabba was Beis Eli, if both were from Beis Eli, Rabba was the uncle of Abaye, and he was also the stepfather of Abaye.
Why was Abaye
there a little longer? Gemara says over there in Rosh Hashanah that if a person learns Torah and does Gemilas Chesed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him yet more time. Mm-hmm. So therefore, Rava or Rabba, depends on the Girsa, went from 18 till 40, while Abaye did Torah and Masan Toivim went all the way till 60. Komzai. Okay, continuing on. Now the Gemara is going to tell us about other great individuals. Second wide line, Reb Roike from a place called Beis Chizoi, he went, Habashchif HaShuka de Beilefet. He would be a frequent flyer in the Shuk called Beilefet. That was the name of the place, the Lefet Shuk, the Lefet Market. Habashchich Eliyo Gabay. Eliyo was a frequent flyer, and he would see him often. Amaleisa, now the Beroika Chizo asked Eliyo Anovi, Ikabai Shukabai Almed Osi, is there anybody here in this Shuk that's a Ben Oilam Haba? Now the Mepharshim explained, we have the Mishnah Masechtas Sanhedrin that we say before Pirkei Avos, the Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Chelik Olam Haba. However, it doesn't mean that you're all going to go straight into Olam Haba. It means, the Chofetz Chaim says, that everybody gets a ticket. They're born with a ticket to Olam Haba. But you got to make sure not to lose the ticket. If you do mitzvah ma'asim toivim and you're an oyved Hashem, the ticket remains valid and this is good. Chas v'shalom, a person is chote, he could lose that ticket. Or he might only get a half a ticket, he might only get in the bleachers, he's not going to get an upfront seat in Olam Haba. What he's asking is, are there people that already now, because of their Masam Toivim, do we know for sure that they're going to go to Olam Haba? There's nobody here to speak of. But as time went on, he saw that there was a person that was wearing black shoes, and he was not wearing tzitzis. Amar leis ne'elyonov, he said, Hi, Bab Amdosio, Erez Dachat Ben Olam Haba. That he wasn't wearing tzitzis, of course, is a chiddush. What is this that he was wearing black shoes? So Rashi points out that in the good old days, there was a minhag among the Yidden not to wear black shoes. Apparently, the Goyim wore black shoes. And as we know, the Torah tells us about Leiselchu B'chukas HaGoyim. So, to show that their dress was different, they did not wear black shoes. Others say they wore black shoes, but they didn't wear black laces. But the point is that there was a shinui in the garb, in the dress of a yid from a goy. This yid, unfortunately, was wearing goyish kleida. He was wearing black shoes like the goy. And he wasn't even wearing tzitzis. Literally, when it says, le'rami chuta de tcheles beglim, it means he didn't put on the tcheles thread. However, the Mefarshim explained, Rashi says, le'hitl tzitzis betalisa. He was wearing a four-cornered beged, and he wasn't wearing tzitzis. Some speculate that it was like, you know, the langer rocken that the Litvisher Rabbanim wear, the Chayr Utzit comes out, because in the back of the rock they have such a long split, is a shayla about wearing tzitzis, so some of them round it off on the corner. So some say, probably this yid also rounded it off on the corner, so that you shouldn't have to have tzitzis. Omalei, said Eliyahu HaNavi, said about this yid, Hai bar Almud Osiyu, Erez Echabenu Elam Haba. Oh, Rohit Basrei, so Reb Broika Chayzo ran after him. Omalei, my Uvdach, tell me, what do you do? Isn't Echabenu Elam Haba? Omalei, Zilda, Inna Vatal Lamachar. I don't have time for you now. Go today and come back tomorrow. Lamachar Omalei, so next day he said, my Uvdach, Nu Zok Meir, what do you do? Omalei said, I'll tell you. Zandukna ana. I am a prison warden, meaning that I am the one that's careful to take care of the prisoners in jail. Vasarna gabri lechud v'nashi lechud. What I make sure is against tznius. You see how the Gemara makes such an emphasis on tznius. I make sure to distance the men from the women. V'ramina peiroi bein hani lahani. What do I do to make sure that they don't go over the line? My bed is in the middle. So to the right of my bed are all the men's. So left of my bed are all the ladies, and this way I am the machitza in between them, so they shouldn't come one to the other. That they shouldn't come to the other. When I see that there's a particular Bas Yisrael Nebuch in captivity here in jail, that people are looking at her, Rashi says in particular, not other prisoners, because L'choyre, his bed being in between was already effective. But Rashi says, Yehavi Gavri Hanayu Allah Bali Beis Asurim. What happens if the prison keepers, in other words, the balabatim of the prison, they'll say, oh, we want to interrogate that girl. And of course, what are they going to do to interrogate Chas V'Shalom? They're going to be Bali De Isur. So what would he do? Masarna Nafshoi Umatzul Nala. I would be Moisen Nefesh and I would go and save her. How? Yoy Mechad. Havas Nar Murasa Kabon. We had Taka Nar Murasa, who was already betrothed, not Nisuin, but Eresin. The Hav Benocher Minayu, that the prison keepers, they were looking out to Chas V'Shalom Duar Aveda. Shakli Durdaya the Chamer. Durdaya means the Shmorim. That's the sediment at the bottom of the barrel of the wine. Even today, when you buy bottles of wine, very often you get sediment on the bottom, that Shmutz, which is reddish in color. I took that, the Shadoy Labishipula, and I put that at the bottom of her dress, at the bottom of her skirt. But Amri, and then I said, you can't do anything with this girl. This, don't you see the blood on the bottom of her kleid, on the bottom of her beged? She must be a distana. Distana means that she is derech noshim lo, says Rashi. It's a Lashon Parsi, which tells you that she is menstruating, she's in her period, and you don't want to live chas v'shalom with a girl that's menstruating. Are you about the dish? Okay. I don't know if they care about it today, but at least apparently at that time they did care about it. Okay, so it says the Gemara now. So we see Moise Nefesh for Benoy Sisro, Agroy Sezach. But now the question is, Amalei, my taima, lest l'chachuti, how come you don't wear tzitzis? For a miss, Masani Uchmi, and why are you wearing black shoes, which is Loi Kederech HaYehudim? Amalei, I'll tell you why. Ailana v'nefikna b'ni nochrim, kehechtali leidu diudoyana. Since obviously this was a government position, you don't become the head of a prison, you know, on a non-profit or voluntary basis. So he was a government official, therefore he was very close to the goyim. He was able to go in and out among the goyim. And I especially don't wear tzitzis, and I wear black shoes, so they should not know that I'm a yid. Why? If I hear that they are planning to make an evil decree against Klal Yisrael, I immediately am Maidia, I inform the Rabbanan about this, and therefore they're able to go and be Mesfalel, and they're able to be Mavatel the Gzeir. So it's impossible. If I would look like a Yid, they would never go and confide in me the new Gzeiris. In other words, he was essentially a spy. Why, when I asked you yesterday, what do you do? And you told me, come back tomorrow. Why didn't you tell me already yesterday? Amalei, I'll tell you why. But he shot the Gazik Zeirasa. He was stuck in such a situation. I just came back from the Goyim. They had just made a new Gezeira against Klal Yisrael. But Minan, I said, Bereisha Ezel Ashma Lederabanan, Liboy Rach Mielo, Dimilza. I didn't want to waste a moment. Schnell, I said to you, I cannot speak to you today. I ran to the rabbis, told them about this terrible Gezeira. They were misfollow. And apparently, that was effective, so the Gezeira became bottom. Okay. So this is a fascinating story about this Choshevi, this Erlech Yid is Ben Olam Haba. But remember, Reb Roike Choizor is speaking with Eliyahu Navi, and Hachi Hachi, as they are talking, also Hanach Trei, a new two people came on the scene. Rashi said, the Masoris Hashas says, not Trei Osi, because it already says, Vahachi Osi. In other words, Adhachi Hachi Osi, Osi means that they came. Also Hanach Trei Osi. So what means Osi? So on the side, Masoris Hashas, it says, Achi. Also Hanach Trei Achi, two brothers came. Omelahem, or Omalei, meaning Eliyahu Novi, said to Reb Roike Choizor, Hanachnam b'nei Amad Asi. Oh, these are also b'nei Olam Haba. Ninu. It's on Zugabai, Omalei Humayav Daiko. Same story again. What is your profession? What do you do? Amalei Inchi B'duchi Anan. We are comedians. It's like we have by a chasinus you call a batchen. So in also Inchi B'duchi means we're comedians, we're clowns. The Vatchinen Atzivi. What our profession is, when we see the people Nebuch are depressed, we bring up their spirits, malach, the metanz, the mashprint, oh, and they smile and they're happy. Inami, or, ki chazin and beitreid, is lu tigre badai, if we see two people that are having a fight between them, torchin and vavdin lu shalma, we are peacemakers, we come to them, and we humor them, and we say, come on, badam, until they bear b'shalom. So we see that a person who's an oyev shalom, v'royev shalom, like ahar nakoyin, then izoychet is a ben oylem haba. Okay, so we finish with all these beautiful stories of beautiful tzaddikim, and we go back to our Mishnah. Now it says in the Mishnah, "Al elu masriim b'chol mokayim." Certain things you're not only masriya locally, but because these are the types of tzorois that can spread from town to town, from city to city, you masriya everywhere. Exactly what masriya means, you'll remember we had a machloikus in the Gemara, where that means that you blow shofar or you say a special anenu, not the anenu that we say on Tanis Tzibur. But the Anenu that we say at the end of Slichos, Anenu Elokei Avraham Anenu, Anenu Elokei Yitzchak Anenu, Anenu Kli Yaakov Anenu, etc., etc. It's machlokes what Masriyan means. Anyway, Tanu Rabbanan, and the Brayis it expands, and it says, Al Eilu Masriyan B'chom Mokayim, and the following, we are Masriya everywhere, Al HaShidofoin, V'al HaYerokoin, V'al Arbe V'chosil, V'al Chayiro. The first four all deal with crops. Shidofoin is what you would call a sandstorm. In other words, a storm that brings in so much sand and it ruins the crops, because the crops to grow need a lot of moisture. And the sand apparently takes away that moisture and attaches itself to the crops. Toynish. Shidofen is a sandstorm, not nishgut. Vali Hirokoin. Hirokoin means the yellowing. This, of course, by people, this is called jaundice. But apparently by Tvua too, Tvua can turn yellow instead of white or whatever is supposed to be its normal color. Va'agrochsil are two different types of locusts, of grasshoppers. So you have to be in the spal b'chol mokim. Va'alchayiro, and if chas v'sholom, there are wild animals which are loose. They can go from place to place. So masri in b'chol mokim. Rav Akiva oima al shadaf al yirokim b'chol shu. The shear is, even if you see the slightest amount of Tvua being damaged by shidofen, by these sandstorms, or you reckon that it's turning yellow, aruchsil afilu near beretz yisrael al kanaf echad. Even if you only see one locust, not that you see 5, 10, 100, you see only one little grasshopper, masri lein already, you're masri. The word kanaf, of course, means a wing, but Rashi says the word kanaf means you just see one grasshopper with one wing, you already gotta worry about that it's going to spread from place to place. And then it's about chayiro. It's talking about chayiro she'omru bizman shehi mishulachas masrin aleh. It's only if you could see that this is like a divine messenger, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu has sent this as a tzara. Ain a mishulachas, but if it's not being sent as a divine messenger, ain masrin aleh. And the obvious question is, how do you define ezi mishulachas, ezi ain mishulachas? How can you differentiate between the two? Does he want? There is be'ir, if you see wild animals in the middle of the street, in the middle of the city, mishulachas, then you know that there's a problem. But sort of, you find it in the fields, you find it in the jungles, in the forest. Ain't a mishulachas. I mean, that's where the wild animals go. The yom, if you see during the day, mishulachas, because normally the wild animals would be afraid to show themselves during the day. But lay but night, ain't a mishulachas, because mazikin and the wild animals, they're sholot at night, they're not afraid. What happens if there were two people and the animal ran after the two? Mishulachas. That's very rare. It would normally run after one animal. After one person. After two people, it would be scared. If it was hiding from the two people, that's normal that the animal should hide from the two people. What happens if it chopped two people and killed them as prey to eat them, but only ate one? So it attacked and killed two people, but only ate one. That's mishulachas. Because this is Rashi, that's not normal. If it was so hungry, it should have eaten both of them. Elamai wasn't so hungry, it only ate one. So why did it kill two? Is a mishulachas. Achar shneim, if it ate two, both ate a mishulachas. It's ironic. We might have thought, forget, if only eats up one, only ate one. The other one lived. Here it ate up two. No, it's just the opposite. If it attacked and killed two and only ate up one, why didn't it go and kill both of them? Is the chasim, and that is mishulachas. It's a wild animal sent min hashamayim. But if it killed two, it's hungry. Pasha, it hasn't eaten for the last 6 days, and therefore ain't a mishulachas. Also, what happens if it went up to the roof, but not with tinik me'aris, and it took out a child from its cradle, from the crib? Mishulachas. This is very unusual. Should go up to the roof and take out the kid. Shkoyach. Okay, so that was the price, and now the Gemara expands and asks a number of steers. Number one, Hagufa Kasha Chadra Steera, Amra Nirsa Be'ir Mishulachas. That if you see it in the city, Mishulachas. It's Mashalashan Be'im Levshan Malayla. It doesn't differentiate between whether you saw it during the day or at night. Vahoda Amra, and after that you say Be'yoy Mishulachas, Belayna Aina Mishulachas. That only by day is Mishulachas and not by night. So make up your mind. What's the story about Belayla? If it's Be'ir, Lechayda, anytime Be'ir is Mishulachas. But then the Braise says, no, if it's Belayla, Aina Mishulachas. You have to combine the two cases together. Nirasa Be'ir and Be'yoy Mishulachas. If you saw Be'ir Balayla, Eina Mishulachas, even though it was in the middle of the street, but after all, everybody's sleeping. Nobody's in the street, so therefore the wild animals run freely, even in the city streets, Balayla, Eina Mishulachas. Inami, or another case. Basoda, Philip Be'yoyim, Ulta Eina Mishulachas. If it's during the day, but it's in the fields, the people not are roaming around the fields, the animals roam around, Eina Mishulachas. Next case. Yimor now asks the Stira Reisha on Sefer. Ruas Hashem b'niyad v'rotz acharaya Mishulachas. There were two people and it ran after them. Mishulachas. Oh, you met us. What happens if there were two people and the animal said, I'm not going to start up with them, they're not going to start up with me? Oh, you met us. It stood in place. Nishkalof and Nishkigang. Eina Mishulachas. Mashut and it's not Mishulachas. Only if it ran after them. But then the Brice continues on, Nechbis b'tneim, if it hid from them, Eina Mishulachas. That, of course, it was in hiding. Oh, you met us. But if it stood there, it's Mashut Mishulachas. So make up your mind. What's the case of Oimedes? From the Reish, it's Mashma Oimedes is nothing, Eina Mishulachas. From the Seif, it's Mashma that only if it's Nachmes Vipneyan, Eina Mishulachas. But Oimedes is Mishulachas. It's more like Kasha. Kambesoda Smuchali Agam, Kambesoda Sheina Smuchali Agam. Both cases are talking about the animal was roaming in the field. But the question is, was the field next to the Agam? Agam is marshes. Rashi says it's more like Koitzim. What difference does it make? Says Rashi, very simple. If it's besoda she'enes muchala agam, then om the mishulachas. If you look at the Rashi, 5 lines before the wide lines, all the way in the bottom, 8 lines from the bottom of the omud. Besoda she'enes muchala agam. Well, let's go back 3 lines earlier. 10 lines. Besoda smuchala agam, says Rashi. Om da ene mishulachas. The kiven de smuchala agam heine rebisa. The animal feels very comfortable in the agam. That's its place where it grows, where it lives. And it doesn't run away. The animal says to itself, I have a nice safety hatchet, a safety hatch where I can go. I'm standing in the field next to the agam. If I see that the bnei adam run after me, shnell, I'll go into my agam. They won't be able to run after me in the agam, Rashi says, because it's full of koitz. Next Rashi. Besodesh, in this mukhlagam, omda, then it's mishalachas. The kima, the lab, mokan, abisuhu, it's far away from where it normally nests and lives and sleeps. The kaima, and it's still standing there, by the mishalachas, gzeid, it's a similar to gzeid min hashemai. Okay. Back to the Gemara. Look at the way Rashi, agam, asamach le'ibu, molik koitzim, full of thorns. That's why people wouldn't want to run after the animal into the agam. Okay, back to Gemara, 5 lines in the bottom. Torfa shnei bnei adam ki echa v'ochle echan mehen mishulachas. If it chopped two and killed two and only ate at one, it's mishulachas. Shnei men mishulachas. We just said now, if it just ran after two bnei adam, that's already mishulachas. And here you're saying only if it caught them, killed them, and ate up one. Make up your mind. Omra papa kitania hibi agma. Oh, that's talking about in the agam itself. If in the agam itself, then it's got to be ochla in. It's got to be dafka that it ate them up. The fact that it's running by agam, that's normally. This is chaimish. That's where it lives. So of course it's going to run around in the agam. So the rotza achresh nebnei adam in the agam is garnished. If it went and had two people, ate up one, oh, does a simen mishulachas. Okay. Now the Brisa said gufa otzalagag. If the animal went all the way to the roof, the not latinic madrisa, and it took out a charge from its crib, that's mishulach. That is so unusual, especially here in this hotel. The hotel goes up to 25 stories or more. Can you imagine the chay goes all the way on top? Gufa means we're just repeating what we had in the Brisa. The chay didn't need to say gufa because we were talking about the Brisa altogether. Oh, gufa mechazet iba v'shtet in the Brisa. This is such a crazy thing. Did you ever hear that a lion should go and run up to the roof and take out a crib, a child from a crib? We're not talking about a skyscraper. We're not even talking about a normal house. We're talking about a little kuch. Others have a girsa, kuva. Kuva means like a cube, meaning a small little tent, a small little hut that was used by the tzaidi. Tzaidi means those that would go and capture oifis, people that are collect, they capture fowl. So they had these little booths, these little huts, and they would hide there, they would go and see a bird, and they would try to chop it. Oh, so now we're not talking about a big festive structure. We're talking about a primitive hut. On top of that hut, they put such a crib. Now it's not so, not such a pshita about the animal going on top, being mishulachas. The animal says, I see the crib, it's easy. No, k'mashulam, that is mishulachas, and therefore masriyim, you have to go and be misbal to the boy yishulam, again, such a tzar. Okay, now the Mishnah continued on. There's another case of masriyim everywhere, ala cherev. If there's someone coming with weapons, with a sword, we're not talking about an enemy sword, even if it's a friendly sword. What means a friendly sword? Someone comes through your Medina, not because he wants to start up with you, he wants to go to the next Medina. In other words, you have the Ikhwais, Iran goes through Iraq. I'm not starting up with you, Iraq. I want to go over to Syria. So vis-a-vis Iraq, it says, we're Shalom. No peace treaty, we're not fighting with you. We just want to go through your land to go, just like you find in Klal Yisrael, you find last week, Sedra, Klal Yisrael wanted to go through Moab and through Edom, through Sichon, and go over to the Amori to go to Eretz Yisrael, and they didn't let him go. So by Moab and Edom, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, don't start up with them. Al-Totza. However, the Gabi Amori, they wiped out Sichon and took over their land. Anyways, the point is, a cherev shosholim means that they're not a danger to you. We signed a peace treaty. We're not going to start up with you. We just want to go through your property. So the Mishnah, when it said, ala cherev, you have to be mispalel, even a cherev shosholim. Why? Because unfortunately, when the soldiers go through your property, they may decide to be not so disciplined. And who knows, they could steal a little bit over here. Chas shosholim, there may be ma'anis women over here. They might kill a few people over there. So even a cherev shosholim, you have to be masri and bias. You don't find a greater case of cherev shosholim from the case of parei nechoy. Now, what is the story about Melech Yeshio? Bear in mind, number one, Yeshio Melech was the first Melech after a number of bad Melechim. He was known as a groisa tzaddik. And Tanakh tells us that he had the whole Klal Yisrael do tshuva, wipe, throw out all of their avodah zaris, and really, he was really machzik Klal Yisrael back to tshuva. Anyway, as a result, he assumed that Klal Yisrael is now in the highest madrega, and now when Parei Nechoy asked him for permission to go through the Klal Yisrael, to go through Eretz Yisrael, because he wanted to fight against Ashur, Yeshio said, no, Aloy Mitan Aleph, I don't let you go through my property. Parei Nechoy sent malachim, messengers, to King Yoshio, and he said to Mali Malach Melach Yehuda, why should we have a fight over here? I'm not going against you. I'm just going to the battlefield against Ashur. This is Hanish Tomat Aich. Velahim Omar Livahaleni, and my God told me, this is a Lashon Avodah Zarah, we'll see anymore. Velahim, my God said, Livahaleni, Shnel, don't waste any time. Chadal Lecha, so now you, Yeshio, stop, refrain, Melihim Asher Imi, Val Yashchisecha, don't start up with my God, and therefore you won't get into trouble, and just let us through. My Elihim Asher Imi, what does this mean, Elihim Asher Imi, Om Rav Yehuda, Om Rav Zu Avodah Zarah. Ah, so now, this was the message that Par Nechoi sent to Yoshio. Yoshio HaMelech Omar Hoyl V'Kabotah B'Avodah Zarah, since he is the Chanoivet Avodah Zarah, Yechil Nalei, we will be able to be victorious against them. No, Aloy Met and Aleph, don't go through Eretz Yisrael. However, Yeshio HaMelech made a terrible, terrible mistake, and as a result, Nebuch, this mistake cost him his life, because Par Nechoi says, aha, you don't want to let me go through B'Sholoi, so let's fight. And in fact, there was a mechoma between Par Nechoi and between Klal Yisrael, and B'Yoyru HaYorim HaMelech Yeshio, the archers shot arrows against Melech Yeshio. V'yoyim HaMelech L'Avodim, and the king said to Zavodim, Havaruni, take me away, Ki Achleisi Mi'oid, I'm very, very sick. So Parshat Pshat, the word Achleisi is from Loshon Chole. However, the Gemara Darshan Mai Ki Achleisi Mi'oid, Rav Yehuda Amara Melamed She'osu Kol Gufay Ki Kavra. There were so many arrow insertions in his body that he became, what do we say every day in Ashi Yotzer, Chalulim Chalulim, holds upon holds upon holds, until he looked like a sieve, just like a sieve has 100 holes to it. Nebuch, there were so many arrows in his body, after they removed the arrows, he was Nebuch like a kabra, like 100 holes. He was Yoshio was one of the best kings that we ever had. And the Mortak asks, why was Yoshio punished? He should have asked Yirmiyahu Navi. In other words, Yirmiyahu Navi was Navi at that time. Yoshio was the Melech at that time. And he should have said, Yirmiyahu, should I go up? Should I allow Par Nechoi to go through? Or should I fight with him? And he didn't ask him. My Dorash, why was Yoshio so confident that he would win against Par Nechoi? Because he darshan in Bechevel Eisav Ba'artzachem. This is the beginning of Parshas B'Choisai, where it's the beginning of B'Choisai. B'Choisai Taleichu, it's B'Choisai Tishvur Vasisam Oisam. It says, the Nesati Sholem Ba'oret. And then it says, B'Cherev Leisav Ba'artzachem. So Yoshio HaMelech asked, my Cherev, what Cherev do we mean? Do we mean a cherev of war, of battle? The Rebbeinu Shalom says, so why does the Torah have to go and say a cherev leisav ba'atzchem? Afilu cherev shel shalom. For any idea, however, he didn't realize shein doyrei doy miyafa. Even though Tzaki Yeshio and Melech did a mamish amapecha rochnius in Klal Yisrael, She'en Kamoyu is one of the greatest kings of Malchi Yehuda. He turned Klal Yisrael upside down from Oyde Avodah Zarah to Erlech Yidin, Yidin that were Shomer Torah mitzvahs. However, nevertheless, it still didn't get to the highest madrega to be zocha to these brachas of Cherev Leisav Ba'atzchem. One madrega less, two madregas less. So therefore, even with all of the takkonis and all the mapeich and all the tshuva, it still didn't get to that madrega that they should be zoicha to, that v'nesati shalom ba'aretz v'chevel eisav ba'aretzach. Anyway, that's the end of the story. But says the Gemara, k'avanicha nafshei, as Yoshio HaMelech was passing out and passing on from Nebuch from the mortal wounds of the arrows, Yirmiyahu HaNavi was at his bedside. Choz Yirmiyahu svasei, he saw that the lips, the Kamarachshon, that they were mumbling. Omar Shemachas Shom Milzid Loi Mahagna Omar Agav Tzare. He said, maybe Yeshio Melech is saying Chas Shalom something improper because he's Nebuch in mortal danger of dying any moment, these terrible pain. Maybe saying something improper. Gochensi bent over the shaman, he heard the Kamatzik Alei Dina Anafshe. That he was Matzik the Din on himself. In other words, that he was saying, Kodesh Baruch Hu, you're right. What you did and what you said. Omar, he heard him say, Tadiku Hashem kifiu merisi. I am guilty. I should have asked Yirmiyahu. I shouldn't have made this decision on my own. Therefore, it's my fault. Pasach alei ha'ishata when
you...
Sorry?
Everything the melech has to go to the Nogi?
Well, we know from Masechet Sanhedrin that they used to go to the Urim Tumim and the Kohen got. I don't know why he didn't go to, maybe there was no... This is at that time, maybe there was already a second base in Midrash, there was no Kohen. Anyway, maybe the Urim Tumim was not available, the Kohen got was not available. L'chol ha'bokos, he should have asked the Novi, he didn't. And he shouldn't have assumed automatically that because of the mapecha that he did, that we're now on the highest madrega. After all, matakat gichan shuva, but that doesn't wipe away everything, all the blemishes and all the tzad. Anyway, bottom line is, he was matzik ala fazin, he said tzadik Hashem, pasach alei ha'ishata, and now Yirmi Anovi said about Yoshio HaMelech, ruach ateinu Mashiach Hashem. Mashiach is from Lashon Mashiacha, this king that was Mashuach, he was Nimshach with Hashem and Mishcha. Ruach HaPeinu, we are losing him as if we're losing Ruach HaPeinu, the spirit from our mouths, from our noses. In other words, Yeshua Melech was such a great tzaddik and such an Eilech Yid. He gave us a fresh breath of life. Now that he passed on, we're losing this fresh breath of life, the Ruach HaPeinu, Mashiach Hashem. Okay. Fascinating story, but that's again shot in the Mishnah when the Mishnah says that on Cherev Masri and Aleh Miyad, even a Cherev Shel Shalom. Now, we go back to our Mishnah. Masri Yodah came to Yerushalayim Oreyem, and they saw a Maloi Tanur of Shidofain, which means even though they saw a very small quantity of Shidofain, they were already Masriya. The Veloshana Mishnah, according to the Gears of Rashi, back on Daf Yutes, was that the Zakenim went down from Yerushalayim, and they heard that in Ashkelon, there was Maloi Tanur. The Shidofoin was like the amount to fill up an oven. Now the question is, Shidofoin is a sandstorm. Sandstorms don't fill up ovens. What we mean is the Tvua that was negatively affected by the sandstorm. And that's what filled up the ovens. The one wants to know, are we talking about the raw product or the finished product? Iboilu, Kimloi Tanur Tvua. Take a tanner and fill it up with grain, or maybe we're talking about filling it up with bread. Now you're going to say to yourself, what's the difference between one and the other? So actually there's a big difference, because if you're filling up with tvua, that means you're filling up every square inch. You're filling up tvua to fill up this oven. If you're talking about pas you would only put on the walls of the oven, so the hollow, the middle of the oven, was empty. You had to leave it empty for growth, so that the challah should grow. After all, you know, that's in between a challah and a matzah, that it's going to leaven, the leavening will cause the challah to expand. So therefore, are we talking about that the amount of shidofen was like filling up the tanner with tvua, that was full to capacity, or it means like filling up challahs on the bread on the walls of the oven? It's toshima, kamloi pitana. Oh, it's like the amount not only of the tanner, but pitana. Pitana means the opening of the oven. And therefore the Gemara assumes if it's the opening of the oven, if you were to go and put tvua on the opening of the oven, it's just going to fall through. However, if you attach a challah, a bread, to the opening, to the kisui, oh, so we're talking about pas. We're not talking about tvua, we're talking about pas. Right, you want to buy ki kisuya de tanura idoma kidora de rifta, the hodle la puma de tanura, the two ways that there could be paths that are covering up the opening of the tanura. It could be like the Morris Kikisuya de tanura, that you put enough paths to cover over the cover of the tanura. The ovens in those days are not like ours where we open it up from the sides, you open it up from the top. And you put a kisui on top of it. So the Gemara is saying is that kisui you could attach to it the challah or the bread, and that would be.
So the tvua also won't go down if it's from the top.
Yeah, but it's a deep tanner. So if you try to go and put in tvua in the opening of the tanner, it's not going to stay there. It's going to fall into the tanner. Yeah. So it's not kamaloi pitan, it's kamaloi tanner, because then you're going to fill up the entire tanner. One means that you're going to have tvua filling up just the pi tanner. See, Mar says pi automatically must mean a chal, it can't mean the tvua, because the tvua is just going to fall in. However, the pas you attach to the cover of the tanner, and therefore it's now mamalei the opening of the tanner. That's one way of learning. There's another way of learning, says the Gemara, that maybe we're talking about you put on the breads or the challah on the walls of the tanur until it reaches up to the kisui. Dilmakidora the rifta, that you make a row of breads around the tanur, the hodalei lapum le tanur, so that it all accumulates and it comes to the open. opening of the tanis. You don't have to fill up breads all the way in the bottom and the sides, just the top part, the top row where you would fill up breads, and that is now closes up the kisei tanis. It's like the Gemara says, I'm not sure what the pshat is. It's tishbi tanis. Oy goes the tanis al she'ochlu ze'evim. Ze'evim came and they ate up two babies. Therefore, it says in the Mishnah again, masri and miyad. Now the Gemara asks an interesting question, having nothing to do with the din of tzorois of hasra, but rather a hilchos tumah v'tahara. Omu ulam mishum b'shim ben yoytzavik. Ma'isu bolu ze'evim shtei tinoikos. They taka swallowed up nebuch two babies. They kiyum derech beitzarei, and they. The word heiki usually means to vomit, but here it means that they came out the other side and there were still guns. The babies were still intact. They didn't go and disintegrate. Now the shala was, are these babies now mitame tumas mes? Uba maisel snech chum, they came before the chum, the tiaru es abas and the timus atzamas. They said that the flesh of these children, of these tinoikis, is tahar. Why is the chames? It died. Explains Rashi, if they would have died a natural death and died on the floor, whatever, avad would be mitame tumas mes. But since it went through the base array, it went through the whole digestive process, it's no longer called baby, now it's called perish. It's called now soya, excrement. This is now the waste product of the ze'ev. Just like soya is not metame, it's not basar, it's soya. Even though these babies are still intact, it has a halachic din like its soya, like its waste, no din of tum. However, since that tzomis is still intact, because the bones were not broken, they remained in that a bone that was not broken was not digested. It's still the way it was. Therefore, it is metame tumas mes like an original mess. If you look at Rashi in the middle of the yomid, right in the middle of the yomid,
it would be digested. Yeah. It wouldn't be metame.
Exactly, if it would be broken up as a result of digestion. It would also have the din of perish. It would have the din of tsoya, of waste product. It wouldn't have the din of tumas mes. So, because it went through the body. Keep a kick to Rashi. You have the tirus abasa. You have this in the middle of the omid. Tirus abasa. She'ena metame tumas mes, dinis achel, vinis batel, toich meyav. Going to show you may ikul. In other words, it didn't come out immediately. It stayed there for a day or two or three that it should be mu'ukul, it should be digested. Now it's perish. The timuas atzamis the loynis achlu. Those remained intact. If those had been broken too, it's also considered to be nisakel. Once it's nisakel, it loses its shame basar. It becomes perish. Perish tsoya, waste, doesn't have a din of a mess. Okay. Zolnish vissim v'nei. Zogim more vayt. Al elu masri mishabos. Tanu banu v'nei v'nei. Ir shekipu nochrim. A city that was in siege by goyim, oy nohar, or by a river. In other words, we're worried about that the river is going to flood the city. And the same thing applies to Svin Tariyah. Why should him take? So again, to kick him in the grass, I see.
No, fine.
If you have a ship which is tottering in the sea, it might submerge, it might fail. One individual who's being run after by goyim, running after someone, or even they list him, or because of listing ganovim, hold up nicks, or may ruach ra, or nebuch a person is born to drait. Rashi said nebuch a shindalit, an evil spirit is born nebuch a shed is a rang yigang and a ruach ra in this person. Alkul, in all these cases, yochid rishoy lesagif is out of the tanis. An individual is allowed to go and be misana for them. A person should not go and be misana for them. Thank you very much. So now Gemara is talking about a private individual. So now that Gemara is talking about. So until now we were talking about sorry sabois al tzibur. Here in these cases about a yochid shenirav neinochrim, they list them, they ruach ra. There's one individual nebuch that is being persecuted by goyim, by ganovim, by ruach ra. This is not enough for a whole tzibur to go be misana. What about a yochid should be misana? So the Tanna Kama says, yeah, yochid rishoy, no problem. Rabbi Yosi, I'm any yochid rishoy the sagav zatz v'tanis. No, he should not. Why? Shemitztach lebrius, he won't have enough koyach now to go make panosa to work, and then he's going to have to go and schnor. They'll say this is self-suicide, this is self-induced. They take a heist and fasten. Go and eat and work and you'll make money. So the Tosis, by the way, points out, if you remember early on our Masechta, we had a machloikis whether a person on this Anna is he called a Kodosh or is he called a Choyte. Machloikis, I think, Reblos and Shmuel, if I'm not mistaken. Rashi, the Tosis says, there's nothing to do with that machloikis. They're talking about Motzilisi Uri Nafshe. There he was able to Matzair himself. In other words, he had the Koyach to Matzair himself. Our Gemara is talking about that he doesn't have the Koyach. There's a person who's Shvach and he's fasting. Says the Tanakhama, oh, if he wants to, he's untied. Says, oh, no, don't do that, because he's not going to have any koyach, he won't be able to work. And Chas v'Shalom, Ein Abriyas Merachmas, all of he's going to become now, he'll have to go on public welfare. Kirshbaruch says, the neshama that I gave to you, be machayit, give it koyaches. Don't, Chas v'Shalom, let it rot. And don't give a koyach.
What kind of time is it? All day and night, or only daytime?
Presumably it is only a day tannis, because the 24-hour tannisim was only the more chomer dika tannisim.
So the bahab now is older, according to this?
Yeah, but these are not individuals. This is bahab is a tzibur, number one. And number two, ein hacharami, a person who cannot, according to that mandi amar, he shouldn't. Because the Torah is zoktach. We don't want you to become public welfare. Presumably, if the person is very wealthy and there's no problem if he skips a day of work because he can't shabbat him, but he has plenty of money, it shouldn't be a problem. He's probably talking about a person who is living from day to day, from hand to mouth. And if you're not going to work today, you know, no tiki, no washi, you're not going to work, you're not going to have any food. They ain't a breeze from Achmas Olaf. Okay. Shimon Atimni Yoimer Af Al Hadever. And it says in the Mishnah that Shimon Atimni on Shabbos said, you should even be mispalo al dever if there's a pestilence, a plague of dever. And the Mishnah says, "V'loy hoydu loy chacham." And the question of the Gemara is, "Iboylo loy hoydu chacham b'Shabbos?" Then Shabbos, they said, don't disturb the ruach of Shabbos by being mispalo on the inyan of dever. Al but avada if it's during the week, avada one should be mispalo. Iboylo hoydu loy klal. And they said, no, dever is not the type of maka that we have to be mispalo on. Toshima, the sign in the Bais, and Masrin al Dever b'Shabbos, Bein Terachlem b'Chol. So this Tanakam is like Shimon HaTimni, that you Masriya even on Shabbos, and the Chavad b'Chol, like Shimon HaTimni said. Rabbi Chanan ben Pitam, Talmid Asher b'Kim, Mishim Rabbi Kiva Amar, Ein Masrin al Dever Kalika. No, we're not Masriya any time, neither in Shabbos nor during the week. So we're Poishad our Shaila, when it said in the Mishnah, Lehoid Lechacham, not only on Shabbos Lehoidu, but even during the week, Lehoid Lechacham, don't be mispal kol ikr on the inyan of Dever. Now the Dever is not the type of thing that you have to go and make Tanezim and make Asroiv. It's a sign good.
The
boy Shabbat Shinoch.
Did you say before the Dever you
have to? Oh, Ifreit Zegut. The Mishnah, same Mishnah that you test, says earlier that Dever, they would go and make a Tanis. So what the Gemara is saying, we shouldn't go and make a Tanis. So the Rishonim ask this question. They have a number of different ways to emphasize. Some say is that the previous Gemara is talking about that the Dever was in Halechas, it's going from city to city. This Dever was staying in one place. Others say, no, that we're concerned that the Dever has already caused damage. This Dever didn't cause damage yet. They try to go and be mechali between one Dever and the other. Not an easy teretz, because l'chayda, on the surface, asher akasha, ifreg zehzeg. But the ayin rishay. Right, alkol tzorah shalei tovei ala tziva. Turn about, alkol tzorah shalei tovei ala tziva, masterina lea. Any type of tzorah where mispal chutz mirek sham. If it's raining too much, it's flooding, of dame, we don't make a tan. My time, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, if he shame mispal, I'll roi vatoiva. If Chas Hashem zuzu tzoris, we're mispal. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives too much good, too much rain, we're not mispal. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, I mean, I'm shame mispal, roi vatoiva. How do I know? Shinem it in the posse, kavi us kala maas, el beisa oitzer. And the posse continues on, ad bli dai. On the side, they have the whole Lashon HaPasik. Kavi us kala maas, el beisa oitzer, vegi teref bezeisi, uvchanunina bezois, om Hashem tzvokoiz. Emlei, eftof Hashem, es rubis HaShemayim, I'm going to open up the openings, the windows in heaven, for our koisi lechem brach, and we're going to pour down brach ad bli dai. What means ad bli dai? My ad bli dai, om rabbi bar rav yud, at shiyivus is seichem eloi medai. There's going to be so much water that you're going to say, enough, 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 until your lips will wear out from saying enough, enough, so many times. Om rabbi bar rav yud, Rashi says rav yud is the name of a person. In Yiddish, mekenzung is rabid. But Rashi says his name is from Tana and Amoira. Om Rami Baravid, Ubi Goyle Masrin Aleh. In Eretz Yisrael Taka, Ein Masrin Aleh. Ubi Golus, if there's too much rain, Masrin Aleh. Why? explains Rashi, because in Eretz Yisrael, most of Eretz Yisrael was on the Horem, like Yerushalayim, Horem, Sovavla. So if there be a lot of rain, it'll run down the mountains. Bovel was in the valley. So if there's too much rain, it'll just accumulate and it'll make, Chas V'Shalom, people will drown. And in fact, the Gemara is going to say that their houses will drown in the water. Tanami Hochi, Shonish Yerushalayim, Rubim, Anshi Mishmar, Sholkhan, Anshi Mamad. Think about your brothers in Golus. If there'll be so much rain, the houses, Chas V'Shalom, will become like Kforim, they'll be submerged in the water. How far should the rain come down until we should mispal not to rain anymore? Oh, actually, this is talking about Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael.
But you say
Eretz Yisrael is not full. Yeah, we'll see in a moment. Amalhem, he told him, Kerem Oifel, raglum amayim. A person standing on a very high place called Kerem Oifel. We'll soon see how high this was. Rashi says it was a big boulder. People would stand on top of that. And if the water has gotten up so high that you could feel the water underneath your legs, in other words, Yishachshech means to go and move it, then in such a case, the halacha is then you can go and start being mispal. Says Rashi, this never happened, so therefore he's telling you, impossible. In other words, it would be like today if we would go and say, you know when you can go and be mispal arroz mayim, when the water will go up to the top of the Empire State Building. Will that ever happen? Of course not. The water will never go that high to Empire State Building. So therefore he's telling you that you can never go and be mispal in Eretz Yisrael. So we said Yishachshech Ragla B'mayim. Feiti Mor of Atani Tzachdu Abraisa Yodav means Yishachshech Yodav B'mayim. Feiti Mor Ragla Ki Yodav Kamina. He means that he can bend down and he can go and feel the water. He's standing the Keren Oifel and he can go and feel the water with his hands just like he feels it with his legs. Om Rabbi B'chonav the Didi Chazili Keren Oifel. I once saw this Keren Oifel. The Kamu Utaya. I was standing on the Keren Oifel and I was looking down below. Can't remember the name of a high place.
The name of a place,
a high place. But you'll see how high it was. The Kamu Taya. I looked down and I saw an Arab, that he was Kira. Wait, first of all. Amen. Amen. Since this never happened, it's impossible the water should get so high. It's never been mispalled right there. So he's saying, like, water comes to the top of the Empire State Building. Let's see how high Keren Oifel was. I was standing on the Keren Oifel to come with Tayan. I saw down below a Tayan Arab, Kirochav Gamla. He was riding on a camel. The Nokit, Roim Chabiyadi, was holding a big spear in his hand. Mishazi Iniva. Amen. He looked like a worm. Like today, if you go to the top of Empire State Building, you look down at the cars down below, they look like little worms, like little ants. So he's saying that's how high the Keren Oifel is, that I looked down and I saw this mighty warrior on a camel holding up a spear. He looked like a worm, like an ant, as a Vigunish. So what the Gemara means to say is that since it's impossible that the water should get so high to this place, so therefore in Eretz Yisrael we're never mispalel al roif toifes. In Chutz Laaretz, in Golgus, yes, because we're worried that Kivrei and Batei and Kivrei. Okay, we'll stop with this. Shikoyach Rabbi Yisai, have a wonderful day.